Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the TMGS. The time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is December the 11th, 2021. And again, welcome to the Michael Gay Show. I'm your host, Michael Gay, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. Happy Saturday to you. Hope you're enjoying your day. And here in Atlanta, crazy weather as usual. Especially around this time of year, it's a little cool out. It's December, wintertime. Christmas is right around the corner, just about 2 weeks to go. And it's Merry Christmas. Hey, today I've got a few topics we're going to talk about. One, of course, is the recent court cases that have been going on all over the country. We talked about a few of them in the last couple of weeks, but there's some going on and some that have completed this week. Interesting outcomes with Jesse Smollett found guilty recently, just yesterday, I believe it was, when the jury deliberated and said, Jesse, you told a lie, and we got you on this one. That's just a shame, you know? And just like someone said, you know, you didn't want to believe it. You know, you don't want something like that to happen to anyone, regardless of their sexual, you know, preference or whatever. But for him to do what he did, and that put a real bad, that looked real bad. And especially being said as a racist attack from some racist, put a noose around his neck and everything. I'm sure the gay community was upset and just had everybody going. But we have to remember, he is an actor. He just went a bit too far. And also, another case that's been going on this week, this woman, Lynn Lee Reddick, and I want to discuss a little bit about this case. Her husband was murdered, and the players involved, and let me just run this by, her ex-boyfriend, who she had been seeing while she was married, two people that she worked with at her shop she had that was failing, knew about it, but they testified against her to get immunity from being, charged as an accessory to the murder. Now, the boyfriend, he was convicted for murder, but he turned a plea to testify against her. They found him guilty. But she says that the boyfriend shot the husband. The boyfriend said she shot the husband. So basically, nobody really knows who pulled the trigger. They couldn't figure out who did it, but they know they both committed the murder. So they were tried separately. Boyfriend plea deal, so he doesn't have, life without parole. And she lied all through the investigation. Now, keep in mind, this happened back in 2017, I believe, the murder happened that far back. And initially, she tried to poison her husband, but that didn't work. So since he didn't die from the poisoning, he was figuring, well, what the hell? We'll just shoot him. Now, here's another thing. The husband was a snake breeder. He had hundreds of snakes. I saw photos of this place. It's like a snake farm, hundreds of snakes. And he's about to sell his business for somewhere around $1.1, $1.2 million is what he was just about to do before his untimely death. Now, the money that he had to a trust for the kids, right? So she said, well, she wouldn't get any of the money and everything. So like, well, she said, I couldn't get any money. But she had a heavy insurance policy on her husband. And allegedly she would have control of the trust. So, again, she told lie after lie after lie. And finally, the lies caught up with her. Now, in court, she did a good job of looking like the soccer mom and everything. I mean, she really made herself look homely and, poor, pitiful me and all this crap. But it was stated that the husband was going to leave her or was going to try to divorce. But she said she wanted a divorce. That didn't seem to be the case. But anyway, what I want to do is give you a little, listen to some of her testimony once I find it. And it's interesting because the prosecutor really got on her. I mean, he was really on her about what she was doing. And she admitted she lied. The verdict is the clincher. What the jury decided is the clincher. So as I scroll through here to find, this is just a short clip of her, the cross-examination of her. And I'm almost there. Let's just show them just a moment. Okay, here we go. I apologize, everyone. It should have been on the board here, and I don't know why it's not. Maybe if I refresh it, I should be able to pull it up, but it's not on the board here. Just bear with me. Okay. Let me open up this microphone real quick. I'm trying to find this clip, and let's see what we got here. Of course, this is one of the Mr. Team. What's up, Tommy?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hello? Mike?
Hey, what's going on, my brother? Can you hear me?
What's going on?
Oh, man. Okay. I'm trying to, I was just speaking of this case that just ended with this woman who killed her husband, the snake breeder. I don't know if you're aware about him. Her name is Lynn Lee Riddick, and she was found guilty for murdering her husband. Now, as I was saying to the listeners, and I'll go through it again just briefly, that her husband already went to trial and was found guilty of the murder. Initially, she tried to poison him. There were two other women who were also involved in it, but they got immunity from being prosecuted to, you know, testify. So initially, she tried to poison the husband. That didn't work. So then, I guess her and the boyfriend figured, you know, fuck it, we'll just kill him, just shoot him. Now, she says the boyfriend shot the husband. The boyfriend says she shot the husband. Nobody really knows who pulled the trigger. But they were both tried and convicted of murder. This guy was a snake breeder. He was about to sell his business for $1.1 or $1.2 million. Now, allegedly, that money would have went into a trust for the kids. But she had a hefty insurance policy on the husband. So one way or the other, she was going to get. So the verdict came down, and, of course, the boyfriend had testified against her. So, you know, he wouldn't have to do life in prison. But the verdict came down yesterday, the day before, against her. But let me play real quick a clip of her testimony. It's kind of short. I'm not going to let it run too long. But listen to the cross-examination from the prosecutor and her answers.
My question is, do you think they're entitled to know who killed their dad?
Eventually, as they get older, yes.
I'm sorry?
As they get older, yes.
Brittany Bishop is a good friend of yours?
Yes.
April Shaw was in here?
Yes.
You got more friends than that, don't you, in this world?
I have a couple of other close friends, but close friends, no, not really, honestly.
Well, you have several close friends, correct?
A few, yes.
And do you agree with Brittany where she says the two of you can share anything with each other?
Yes.
But you didn't share this with her or any of those other people, did you?
No.
And you didn't ask them for help or their spouses or boyfriends for help in going out there that day, did you?
No.
Okay. In the world, your universe of people, to select to go out on this day to ask for a divorce was an ex-boyfriend who you had a toxic relationship with that you hadn't seen in 7 years. That's who you chose to help you go keep Ben calm, correct?
Correct. Not to keep Ben calm, but yes, correct.
Well, in case Ben got upset, he was there. That's why he was there, correct?
Yes.
You and Sam had your differences, did you not?
Yes, quite a few, yes.
Yeah. But Sam didn't kill his brother, did he?
No.
Sam was entitled to know who killed his brother, didn't he?
Yes.
And you never told Sam?
No.
And worse than that, you knew who the real killer was, and you told the police, not Michael Humphrey, but they ought to investigate Sam, correct?
Yes.
I mean, what kind of cold heart lies within you?
Objection. Relevant and improper lawyer comment.
I don't
know.
You were interviewed by law enforcement a number of times, correct?
Yes.
Matt Cook interviewed you?
I don't know their names, but
okay.
But yes, I will, yes.
But let's do it this way. You were interviewed a bunch by a bunch of cops, correct?
Yes.
I think Devin Faust said 6 days, 6 different times.
Okay.
Do you remember hearing that?
I'm sorry. No, I don't remember him saying the
okay.
number of days, but that's okay. Whatever you say.
Well, I'm asking you.
I don't remember the number of days, but yes, I was interviewed a lot by police.
Okay. And on every one of those occasions, every one of those officers' job and goal was to find out who killed Ben.
Yes.
And it was their job and hope to bring that killer to justice, correct?
Yes.
And those guys were interested and involved in that pursuit, correct?
Yes.
And you lied to them every time.
Yes.
You never told them Michael.
No.
And not only did you lie to them, you misdirected them by telling them people like Sam Rennick, correct?
Yes.
Now, these 12 jurors, there's two alternates, these 12 jurors, their job is hopefully to discover justice and find out who's responsible for this murder, correct?
Yes.
And to hold them responsible, correct?
Yes.
If you're willing to lie to the police about such a vital matter, why should these jurors now believe you?
I was lying to protect myself, and I told a lot of really awful lies just to do that. But it's just too heavy, and it's too much. And so much bad has come from trying to hide behind those lies. So I understand what the prosecutor's saying about all of the lies that I told, but all I can do now is just sit up here and tell the truth. And at least I will have gotten it out, and I won't have to carry it anymore.
That is unbelievable. She lied all this time. All this time she lied to the police. Lie after lie after lie. And you listen to her, every question that the prosecutor asked her, she was like, yes. Did you lie to the police? Yes. Did you lie about? Yes. And the prosecutor, and if you heard clearly, said, if you lie to the police, why should these jurors believe you now? And you heard her answer. So they deliberate. And this was a speedy trial. This lasted maybe 4 to 5 days at the most. And so they deliberated, and they came back, finding her guilty on 2 charges. They gave her, they recommended, I should say, because this is one of those courts where, you know, they deliberate, come up with a verdict, and then comes the sentencing phase all in the same day. But it's up to the judge to take a look at it, though. He's going to come back and have to agree upon whatever, you know, or not agree. But on one charge, they gave her 3 years, and another charge, 13, if he will do 16 years for murder. Think about that. 16 years for murder. And keep in mind, I said, they really don't know who actually pulled the trigger. Was it the boyfriend or was it the wife? And they were both charged for the same crime, the same charges. He's got 25 to life. She gets 16. He was going to have life without parole. Now, according to the report, she does the whole 16. She will be about in her 40-ish, mid-40s, late-40s or so when she gets out. She still will have a life ahead of her. And two other criminal attorneys that were on court TV discussing it two white lawyers, by the way, one male, one female, at two different times, said they couldn't help but think, had that been a woman of color, there's no way in hell she would have got 16 years. What is wrong with this picture?
Well, Mike, you know, you also got to think, what kind of attorney do you have? Depends on how good of attorney you got. You know, true, it might be that, you know, that she might not get no time. But then again, if we think about the, you know, the type of attorney that she has, you know, a woman of color probably could have got off. You never know of what she could have gotten, depending on how it is, you know, how it was set up. You know, because it still comes down to that. People forget. They still say, like, the guy Rittenhouse, you know, that prosecutor wasn't that good of a prosecutor, because the brother who was in that they were interviewing on CNN said it was a winnable case. They just had the wrong prosecutor. But you could have won. He just didn't set it up right. You know, I don't know about that. Also, Mike, one of the craziest things I always ask, isn't it amazing how that one decision you make, people just basically shit their life away? That one decision that you wanted to kill this dude so bad that you were willing to risk going to jail for damn near the rest of your days. You were willing to risk that. And I'm always blown away by that. Every day, if you just sit and listen to these cases of the decisions that human beings make, how they end up in these situations. And done. The brother who drove through and ran over those people during the parade.
Mm-hmm.
Really? You made that decision?
Yeah.
You didn't see that you were running nobody over? You didn't care?
Yeah.
Now you're going to spend the rest of your days behind bars, you know, and somebody got to let you in and out. You give up so much. But then again, I always say, Mike, freedom ain't for everybody. Because remember, you're free to be an idiot. You're free to really ruin your life. And it ain't for everybody. And I just listen to, you know, just all these different cases, all these different decisions that, you know, that people are making. And they're throwing them away, whether it be these teenagers, everything. I'm just blown away that this woman sat up and spent all that time just to kill her husband. Did you really think you were going to get away with it? You're not that good.
But, you know, what boggles the mind is, but what boggles the mind is, like I said, it was proven in court that she tried to kill him once already. She tried to poison him. Two of the people that work with her at her shop testified for immunity that one of them is the one who gave her the pills, you know, to try to poison him. And so they weren't, they got a immunity from being prosecuted. But because she could have done like 35 years. But what was the jury thinking? Because the proof was there. She tried to poison him once, and then that didn't work. So either my boyfriend or myself were going to shoot him. Like I said, they don't know which one pulled the trigger, but they were both found. How does she only deserve 16 years?
Right.
Tried to kill her husband twice.
Now, what was this at? What city? What city?
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I got to find that state that was in. I think it was Missouri. I think that's right. I got to look it up. Yeah, that's right. Missouri. I don't know what city, though. Let me just find out.
Okay.
What city that was.
Well, and you never know, Mike. Probably, you know, they just, you know, maybe she had that. Maybe that was the deal that she cut. I mean, because the boyfriend did testify against her. And she testified, because they didn't know who pulled the trigger, you would have thought that it would have been enough. But, like I said, you know, depending on how Missouri state law is, but if she was black and set all this up and it was a black man that she killed? No, I don't think they would have given her, she probably would have got the same time. But if it had been a black woman that probably killed a white male, or a black male that killed a white woman the same way, oh, most definitely done. Just done.
Yeah.
But
because
if it had
Columbia,
a white dude, if it had been a white guy that killed a black woman,
mm-hmm.
and did all that, I don't know. He might have got a lenient sentence too.
But this
he probably would only got
Columbia,
15.
Yeah, this was Columbia, Missouri.
Missouri.
Let's see, a place. Yeah, at Boone County Courthouse in Columbia, Missouri,
mm-hmm.
is where it occurred.
One thing's for sure, of the people that I know that grew up out there in that way or went to school out there, that ain't for us, Mike. You don't want to go down there.
Yeah, you got it.
That's like, you might as well stay in Georgia. That ain't nothing but the South over there. Even though Columbia's got the University of Missouri is there, it's a great college. Yeah, but
mm-hmm.
And I grew up in Brentwood, Missouri, Maplewood, Missouri, and you know, East St. Louis is across the water from St. Louis, Missouri. So you know, but it's a whole different breed of white folks down there, boy. Different breed of brother too. they think a whole different. That ain't no California white boy over there.
Corn Huskers, huh?
Oh yeah, bro. I have a guy I work with. Well, used to work with. He's retired, but he married a Filipino girl. He's from those neck of the woods over there in Missouri, and he couldn't even invite his family to the wedding. Well, he couldn't invite his sister to the wedding because his sister was just that racist. I said, well, I can imagine if you'd have brought home a black girl. He said, oh, I tried that. Woo! He said they had pitchforks and rope waiting on her. So, he said they, you know, he didn't even invite his sister to his wedding. It was that bad.
One of them Green Acres type scenarios.
Oh yeah.
So I want to turn to this. Well, I want to get into the. I want to go over a few of these cases. Look at Jussie Smollett found guilty.
Juicy? You mean Juicy? Juicy Smollett?
Smollett. Found guilty. Oh man, what was the brother thinking?
And that's
still questionable. You know, they're investigating the attorney who dropped the case.
He need to stop. Okay, the brothers testified. Okay, he lied.
Mm-hmm.
Look. I said to my friends when it happened, I said those detectives, you know. They got a black, at that time they had a black chief.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, they are going to comb that neighborhood, wherever he said he was. Now you got detectives. They're going to put their best detectives on this. These, you're talking 10 to say 15 to 20 year veteran detectives. All right? These
mm-hmm.
guys know what they're doing. They're going to go in. And when they get through dissecting and putting everything together, homeboy he ain't gonna like what they find. And the
mm-hmm.
minute he would not answer their question, and he got funky, that's when I knew he was done.
Mm-hmm.
I knew he was
yeah.
done. I was like, boy, you gonna burn for this shit. Now, there again, he put this whole thing together, Mike, and he just shit
mm-hmm.
his career away. Mike, he was making he was getting $165,000 an episode. Now, to the average man, that's damn good money, baby. Cause you got people ain't getting $165 a year. You getting $165 an episode. And a friend of mine broke it down and said, well, you know, they sometimes break that up. I said, oh, okay, so what? $80,000 every 2 weeks? We want to say 60,000 every 2 weeks. The average American ain't getting 60,000 a year. This boy was getting 60 to close to 100 grand every 2 weeks, Mike.
Right.
And he wanted publicity so bad that he was willing to coop up this bullshit. I said, boy, talk about running through the fire with gasoline draws on.
Well, let me go through this real quick. It says actor Jussie Smollett, as you call him, Juicy Smollett, who was found guilty.
That's what Dave Chappelle called him.
Says was found guilty of lying to police last week after he claimed he was the victim of a hate crime in 2019. And of all things, a Subway sandwich was a key piece of evidence in the case against him, the former Chicago police superintendent said, according to reports. Ex-superintendent Eddie Johnson told News Nation Now's Morning in America that Smollett left his home around 2 a.m. on the day he claimed to be attacked to buy the sandwich. Okay, that's fine, Johnson said, adding that morning was one of the coldest in Chicago that year, and hardly anyone was on the street. Quote, he comes back and gets attacked in a hate crime, supposed hate crime. And during all this scuffle, they poured bleach on him and all of this. When he got up and went into his apartment building, he still had that Subway sandwich with him. That doesn't happen. Smollett's interview with police inside his apartment after the claimed attack was caught on body camera. Johnson said victims usually abandon whatever they have with them when they're attacked because they're afraid. Yeah, that is interesting. Here you got a noose around your neck, bleach on it, but you held on to that sandwich. That doesn't sound right.
Where Chappelle said that, so you went to Subway? Yeah. Okay. 2 a.m.? Yeah. You going to get what? Sandwiches. Who goes to get a sandwich from Subway in the one of the coldest days in Chicago history?
Yeah. Right. That is true. That is crazy.
Hey, man, you can't make it. He ran through. You might as well just douse yourself with gasoline and burn yourself up, Mike. That's how dumb he is. He's a laughing stock that people, they're never going to let him in. He will never work in this town again. If he does, he'll be doing animation. That's what he better go do. That way no one will ever see his face. The dumbest thing he could have ever done. We all want to make it in Hollywood, baby, but we ain't doing that. And mind you, he was on his way up. The dude's a hell of a singer. He had records coming out. They were setting up dates for him to go and perform.
Right.
I don't
Tours.
His sister's doing amazing. His sister's doing amazing. I think he's got a brother and somebody. I mean, they're like the Silvers of Hollywood. You know, they're like they're like Elden Barge. They got that look, okay?
Right.
They can fart and get work, and yet you're gonna go and throw black people under the bus, talking about the racial shit. We're already having a hard time with it. Now you're gonna fake the funk? Come on, man. Even black
people. Well, right, and it's not just the fact of the black people, but the gay community too. He threw the gay community and the black community under the bus. Because, I'm pretty sure that the gay community was afraid initially, you know. But more bothered, Mike,
was all the work that we've done, okay?
Oh, yeah.
That black people have done, that racial shit. When he said, aren't you that faggoty nigger on that TV. So, dude, they don't even talk like this. They don't even talk like that. And he said, and they ain't watching your show anyway. There's no white people watching your show, especially their type. They don't even know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it just and
what's the chances that they're gonna recognize you?
That
now it was like a blizzard in a sense. It's that cold. People are bundled up. Now, I know he's not walking down the street with no cap, no, you know, this is, what, This is the North, you know. He's not walking down the street.
Hey,
no
brother, they don't call that city the Windy City for nothing.
Right.
Call it
yeah.
the Windy City for nothing, okay? If you step around that corner, that hawk going to cut you up. That wind is going to lay you out. I don't care if you live
man,
in Chicago, Detroit, St. Louis, Missouri, Illinois, any part of that, any of that Midwest area. When it get cold, coming off that water, oh, my God, you can, whew, that brother
hey,
knew
but
when
you know,
opened him out.
But look, but that's not going to stop Jesse from getting his $5 foot-long sandwich from Subway. He don't care how cold it is at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Well, another thing is you're in a hotel, right? Right?
Right.
Why couldn't you order room service?
Right.
Why couldn't you order DoorDash? You're making $165,000
an episode.
That boy is making, that's good money. Did you see his entourage around him? Okay,
mm-hmm.
This dude's got money. Obviously, to hire all these people to come and to guard you, what are you worried about? You know, what are you worried about? And
where were they?
And
where were they when you went to get your sandwich? How come you didn't have anybody with you at 2 a.m. in the morning? Yeah.
But that's what got him in trouble. He wouldn't answer their questions. And that's when they knew he was lying, because he wouldn't answer the questions. Mm-hmm. You can't talk to the police that way. I'm here to help you, but I got to ask questions. And you're claiming that this racial stuff went down. So if it went down, okay, then you got to talk. Now, if you ain't going to talk, I can't help you.
Right.
Can't help you at all.
Mm-hmm.
And now you know, like I said, if you're a 15-year veteran, you know, and you're a 15-year veteran detective, okay, you're gonna smell bullshit 100 miles away. You ain't even got you're gonna smell that before you even get like a shark smelling blood. You're gonna smell that.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna say to yourself, "What the? You did what? And he did what?" And you show, I'm sure. And they came in, and the white folks, yeah. And the white folks grabbed you and put a noose around your neck and poured some bleach on you. Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. You the only one there? Uh-huh. And you so 2 o'clock in the morning, you decided you're going to get you a Subway sandwich? You had to have Subway at 2 in the morning. Okay. Yeah. And hey, I'm Air Jordan.
But here's the funny part. Did you get the? Oh, you did get the sandwich. You still have it. What'd you get? Oh, okay. You got the BMT. Yeah, I like that sandwich. And my goodness, you held on to that sandwich after all that. No bleach got on it, did it? That is crazy. That he still had the sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Bruh.
Okay. Oh, wow. Things like you said, what makes people want to murder folks? Sit up there and think about it. Why do people want to stage something like that? And they're, as you said, he's making over $100,000 an episode. It boggles the mind.
Yeah.
Now, I want to switch gears real quick to the case that is really of importance right now that's got a lot of attention.
Right.
Is the shooting of Duante Wright.
Mm-hmm.
I am worried about this case. I am worried about this case because of some of the testimony. I don't know if you've been following me, but they're trying to switch it and saying that, well, Duante Wright's car at that moment became a weapon. Because he got back into the car and they claim he tried to drive off. According to the girlfriend, his hands were on the steering wheel, yeah, but he didn't reach for the steering wheel. The sergeant who was coming on the passenger side reached in to grab the gear shift to keep him
from
When the officer pulled her taser or her gun instead of the taser, You know, they're supposed to say taser three times for the officer to back away so they don't get hit. Well, before she fired the gun and before he hit the gas after being shot, that officer had already been halfway into the car.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're trying to say that had he got it in the drive, he could have dragged the officer and possibly injured or killed him.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're looking at, well, it was justifiable because the officer was in danger. You got what I mean? Or being dragged. But she yelled, taser. He's out the car at that point. You look at the video. He's back away. So I'm really concerned about how this case is going because they're really pulling up some things and saying that that she was justified even though she used the gun by accident.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts?
You know, there's another one that they're going to try to get her to walk. But clearly, you know, clearly she needs to go to jail. Okay, you shot the boy. You know, whether you want to admit it or not, that you know, even I'm not saying that you made a mistake. You shot him. Okay, yeah, he ran away, but that doesn't mean you said taser. You're gonna tell me you're a veteran cop, and you don't know the difference between a taser and a handgun? Because clearly the handgun is heavier, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess if you ask Officer Crenshaw, it's heavier.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, it's definitely a lot more dangerous, you know. I mean, so if you and you know, I guess they said he had a warrant. Is that what they said he had a warrant for the arrest?
Right. He had a warrant.
Okay. But, you know, they tried to put him in cuffs and whatnot. I still don't get how is it that you got three or four people, because there were other police officers there that she was training, and y'all can't stop one person? Just like the guy I had that dude.
It was a total of three. She had a training officer, and then the sergeant had came. So I believe it was the sergeant or lieutenant had came, and he was on the on the passenger side of the vehicle.
Uh-huh.
Her and the trainee, I guess you could call him, his last name is Lucky. They were on the driver's side, and he was the one who actually committed the stop. And what was the crazy thing is that where it was based on the fact that he saw the air freshener, the tree, which is against the law to hang on your windshield in this state, in that particular state, which to me that's just crazy. You know, I don't see how that can impair your view of the street. This
now, why did they pull him over?
Because of the air freshener. It's against the law to have him hanging in your window. And that, yeah.
And where
that's what it was.
Where was this place then?
What state was it? It was in Minnesota. It happened in the same state as right when the Chauvin case was going on.
See, that's another thing. Who's writing these laws?
Well, the thing is, the question what they're trying to see is when is it? I mean, how do you look at it, as an accident or negligence? I look at it as negligence.
I call it negligence. Yeah,
yeah,
because my thing is, you're a veteran cop.
If you're that scared, mm-hmm. you should not be a cop. If you're that scared, come on, man. You know, I deal with them.
Well, actually, if you look online, she had the Taser 7. I looked it up. And if you look at the make of this gun, the way it's structured, and as they showed in the trial earlier, the prosecutor, is the officers have a choice. They can carry it on their non-dominant side, which she's right-handed. So, of course, your gun, your service weapon is on your right side, and the taser is on your left side. And most officers certainly theirs on their non-dominant side, of course, and reach over with their, you know, the right hand, you know,
right.
You know, but she had never shot anyone by accident, and she's been an officer for 20 years. She went through the certification. They said they have to go through that every year. They have training. They get the information as far as upgrades on the gun, plus on the taser, I mean, and said that the taser, there's actually a switch you have to turn it on. A gun, you just take the safety off, or normally officer has it off the safety. They just have it in their holster with the strap on it. But the taser, you have to actually turn it on, turn a switch with the, you can do it with your thumb, and that there's two lights on it. There's a red light and a green light that actually targets the suspect. You know, you can see them on the suspect's body. And the manufacturer recommends that you aim to away from like the organs of a person's body, you know, the chest area or whatever, and face or something like that. Preferably not by the heart, especially up close. But this is a taser that actually has like a beam per se, like you would have on a gun. So you would have to see that. And like you said, the weight of it, it's yellow.
Right.
You know, definitely different in color, you know. And what I'm wondering, when she's yelling taser, 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 there's two other officers. You mean to tell me that none of them looked at her and noticed this weapon in her hand, instead? I mean this black firearm in her hand and not a yellow taser? None of them could think fast enough, or was it that fast where they didn't say, whoa, 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 wait a minute. You know, like, that's not a taser. Because she has it pointing at Mr. Wright, saying, I'll tase you, I'll tase you. And she yells, taser, taser, taser. She has that gun lean enough, I would think, that the officers would have been able to see that's not the taser. Don't you agree?
Right. Oh, yeah. I think she still has to go to jail. She has to be punished. You took somebody's life, whether you accidentally did it or not. You know, you're the professional. He's not. You're the one that's got the training. And why are you pulling your gun? You know, I always believe, hey, write down his telephone number and get him, you know, write down his license plate number. There's got to be a better way. You cannot always say that this is the only way. The only thing to do is to shoot him. You can't do that.
Right.
And that's what's gotten cops in trouble for a long time. Because the first thing they think to do is to kill you. I got to shoot you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was an old lady in downtown L.A. in Skid Row, had a screwdriver. Now, she's 60-something years old. You couldn't take that screwdriver from her? No, you know what they did? They pumped 3 bullets in her chest.
I heard about that.
And justified it. And justified it. There's a lot of this stuff you do not have to shoot people for. And they know it. But they're not going to do it because they're not training them to do that. I think that you should, I mean, if you go to any country, we have more, you know, we have more problems with our law enforcement than anybody. You know, we are constantly killing people. You can say that we have murder, but cops are just blowing people away, man. And a lot of times, you know, they don't care whether you blind, crippled, or stupid. Shoot, that one dude shot the guy who was in his wheelchair, shot him dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't care. They're not moving L.A. Shit, blow your ass away. L.A., any of these states, man, they shooting people left and right. That boy would be dead today if she just said, hey, okay, I'm going to write you a ticket by. So if he ran off, okay, we got his info. You know, take down the driver's license, we'll get you. We'll get you. You're going to jail. One for running. But you didn't have to kill it. It wasn't that serious.
Well, there was a warrant, true enough.
There was a warrant.
Right, there was a warrant.
But it was a warrant of robbery. He didn't have a robbery warrant. He didn't have a warrant of where it was, you know, where he was, you know, that, you know, we had to take this cat out. It wasn't that type of warrant. You know, so, I mean, you know, what they did was unbelievable, you know.
Yeah.
They didn't have to shoot him like that. My whole point is that they didn't have to shoot him like that. You know, that's
right.
That's always been my, you know, just like the guy that was running away and got shot in the back 7 times. You know, and I'm telling you, you got white folks who sit there and they go, oh, and you got some black people out there that believe that that cop was justified. He was going for something. His kids were in the, you shot that dude in the back in front of his children. And you justified it. And that's what I'm talking about. That's the type of stuff that blows me away. Justify how you shot these people when there's other ways of handling it. I'm not against, you know, less cops or anything like that. I'm just saying, hey, bro, use your head. You ain't got to put a bullet in everybody.
Well,
all this martial arts, MMA fighting that we got, you know, y'all don't know how to take these cats down? Now, if they got guns, that's different. I give it to you, blow his ass away, 100%. But just to shoot, if he in for a misdemeanor, you know, and you're trying to bring him in, and he ain't got no gun. Well, he was moving. You know, you're gonna get in trouble for it. It's already been proven. They're gonna get you.
Well, like I said, this case really bothers me because what precedence is going to show if she's found not guilty in the future? I was gonna see more officers. Oh, you know, I accidentally pulled my gun. I thought it was my case. You know.
Say again.
I said that, you know, if you're kind of worried, you're gonna see more of this. If she's found not guilty, are you gonna see more of these accidental? You know, I pulled my tape. I mean, my gun instead of my chase.
Well, that's
scenario.
You know, but that's the thing. You know, that's why. Well, I don't know. Because the other dude, what's his name, that got the dude was on his neck?
Oh, the noose on his neck? Jesse?
No, not with the noose on his neck. That had,
you mean who put the, you mean George Floyd?
George Floyd, yeah.
George Floyd
situation,
yeah,
was supposed to stop all that. By sending those cops to jail like that, all this accidental blah, blah, blah is supposed to stop.
Mm-hmm. But now this shooting took place. You're right. It took place while the trial was going on.
The situation here is, you know, my man is supposed to go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's supposed to go down here. The woman is supposed to go to jail. Yeah, she's supposed to go to jail because you can't hide this. Granted, it's an accident, so she still should do 5 years at least. I think she should still do about 5 years in prison. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And
go ahead.
She'll never be able to work in law enforcement again. A law enforcement day is over.
Well, like I said, I think what scares me about this is the video, because if you look at after she shot him, her reaction did seem real. You know, she went to the curb and fell down and all that and everything, but it looked genuine. And maybe, I don't know, you know, it may be an accident, but it was negligence on her behalf, accident or not.
Right.
Accident or not, it's still negligence on her behalf.
100%. Yeah, by all means, bro. She definitely, you know, she crossed the line with that one.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
we hope,
you know,
Yeah, she definitely crossed the line. So, according to her lawyer, come Monday, day after tomorrow, she will be in the stand testifying. And I think that's going to be the make or break for her of how the jury takes her testimony, how convincing she is, and how sorrowful she is for what had happened. And is that really going to be – well, I think that's what's going to really make or break this case, whether she is still found guilty or not. And the interesting thing is that they upped the charges on her. And that's another thing where some jury, some lawyers are saying that the prosecutor might be overcharging this time, just like they accused the prosecution in the Trayvon case, that they overcharged.
So I don't know how they're doing that one. I don't know how they're just saying overcharged, because definitely, you know, these folks should be in jail, you know.
Mm-hmm. That is definitely true.
Definitely should be in jail.
Well, they should be in jail. We'll know by next week. I'm pretty sure this case should wrap up by the middle of this week, I would think. I'm thinking it will be. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, that's how the court system is, and, you know, I don't pay attention to all that. I pay attention to these cases. I'm not one of these people who sit up and watch these reality shows and all that crap. I look at court TV because that's real deal, you know what I mean? And it's showing you actual cases across the country and showing you verdicts. And for me, you learn a lot about the laws in other states. You know, not that I'm on a committee of these crimes, but some of these cases, man, they got some strict guidelines when it comes to sentencing. You know, like I said, in that woman's case, they were like, boom, guilty. They came back from deliberation, and then, you know, we'll take recess, and then we'll come back with the penalty phase. I'm like, damn, that quick? You know, it's like, we'll go to commercial, we'll be right back. And that's how they do it in Missouri. So it is interesting to watch this. And it definitely shows
they
you
got
what
a crime going on. Where I'm at right now, the police just blocked off a whole area. I just came over here, and they didn't block this off. Something went down. Somebody needed, because they didn't block this off. They got flares out. I'm right here off of Sepulveda at Hatteras near Balboa Boulevard.
I know what you're talking about.
They just blocked all that off. And
near Balboa?
The street. And they blocked off the other part too. Somebody didn't commit a crime. I was coming over to grab some wine for my girl. And shoot, they got stuff blocked off.
Okay.
So, you know.
Right. Always something.
Always.
Well, just to let everybody know, by the way, don't want to forget to let everyone know that tomorrow is Janet's birthday, so that's why she's not with us today. The family is taking her out to dinner this evening.
Tell her that ain't no excuse, Mike.
She said she was going to try to call in, but she said, you know, no telling what's going on. I said, no, go ahead and enjoy your evening out with the family. So happy birthday to Janet. And, she's going to enjoy herself this evening, so that's cool. And, Kunkel is tied up for today, so just going to do a short show today. I'm not going to run long. Just wanted to make sure we just got a holler in there before we'll be back on next Saturday. And then Christmas, of course, we won't be in here because it's Christmas. So that's pretty much it. So I know you about to go ahead and take off.
Yes, sir.
And enjoy the rest of the evening.
You too. You too.
All right. I appreciate you chiming in and
joining
me for the conversation.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, you guys. We're going to take a music break. And like I said, we're going to have a shorter show today. We're going to take a music break, but I have to play this because it is a question. This is a classic from Janet Jackson, State of the World. You listen to TMGS. We'll be right back.
Good looks and
violent.
Tiananmen Square today.
Up to the adults to teach the children.
Period. A pain reliever. A bullet. Tempting. Moment.
Violent crimes are on the uprise.
So frustrating.
Fire and rise and shine. Be the winner before you die.
Welcome back to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show on this Saturday here broadcasting live from the ATL. I'm your host, Michael Gay. Thanks to my co-host, Mr. Time and Ship, out there in beautiful California, for spending a little time with us. Had some previous plans, but I'm glad that he was able to stop in. And by the way, as I mentioned, unfortunately, the lady of the house, Miss Janet Davis, won't be available this evening because she is celebrating her birthday this weekend. Tomorrow's her birthday. So you guys say happy birthday to Janet. And, well, you can't because she's not here. But next week, give her a belated happy birthday. All right. So going to go into some news here real quick. This story I found kind of interesting guarding the election. Yes, it's still some stuff going on with the elections, or should I say after the election. So here's a story from Reuters magazine, or Reuters, and it says Kanye West publicist pressed Georgia election worker to confess to bogus fraud charges. Atlanta, December 10th. Weeks after the 2020 election, a Chicago publicist for hip-hop artist Kanye West traveled to the suburban home of Ruby Freeman and Georgia election worker who was facing death threats after being falsely accused by former President Donald Trump of manipulating votes. Publicist knocked on the door and offered to help. The visitor, Trevian Kuti, K-U-T-T-I, gave her name but didn't say she worked for West, a longtime billionaire friend of Trump. She said she was sent by a, quote, high-profile individual whom she didn't identify to give Freeman an urgent message. Confess to Trump's voter fraud allegations or people would come to her home in 48 hours and she'd go to jail. Well, the story goes on to say, Freeman refused. This story of how an associate of a music mogul pressured a 62-year-old temporary, and I'm sorry, my screen keeps clipping on me here. Let me go back here. I'm sorry. It keeps jumping on me here. Okay, here it is. It keeps rolling on me, and I don't know why. I'm trying to go back to where I left off. This is pretty weird. Okay, here it is. I think I found this spot. At the center of Trump's conspiracy theory. Okay, Freeman refused. This story of how an associate of a music mogul pressured a 62-year-old temporary election worker at the center of Trump's conspiracy theory is based on previously unreported police recordings and reports, legal filings, and Freeman's first media interview since she was dragged into Trump's attempt to reverse his election loss. Okay. Kuti, K-U-T-T-I, as I said, did not respond to requests for comment. Her biography for her work at the Women's Global Initiative, a business networking group, identifies her as a member of the Young Black Leadership Council under President Donald Trump. It notes that in September 2018, she was secured as publicist to Kanye West and now serves as West's director of operations. When Kuti knocked on Freeman's door on January 4th, Freeman called 911. By then, Freeman said she was weary of strangers. Starting on December 3rd, Trump and his campaign repeatedly accused Freeman and her daughter, Wandria Shay Moss, of illegally counting phony mail-in ballots after pulling them from mysterious suitcases while working on Election Day at Atlanta State Farm Arena. In fact, the, quote, suitcases were standard ballot containers, and the votes were properly counted. County and state officials quickly confirmed, refuting the fraud claims. But Trump and his allies continued to accuse Freeman and Moss of election rigging. The allegations inspired hundreds, and there it goes again. Why does it keep rolling on me? My screen keeps rolling on me. I got to keep going back. I should have pulled this up on another piece of equipment instead of on here. Okay. Let me try it again. I apologize again, you guys. It just keeps rolling on me, and I don't know why. Got to keep going back. Okay. Almost there. Okay, so let's see. But Trump and his allies continue to accuse Freeman of unlawful election rigging. The allegations inspired hundreds of threats and harassing messages against them and their family members. By the time Clutie arrived, Freeman needed help, but was cautious and wouldn't open the door because of the threats, according to Freeman and a police report. So Freeman asked a neighbor to come over and talk with Clutie, who was with an unidentified male. Like Freeman, Clutie and the other visitor were black. Clutie, and I don't know what is going on. What's wrong with my screen here? I guess it doesn't want me to finish the story. Gordon Freeman told her that she was going to put a man. Okay, that jumped too far ahead. It didn't do this the other day when I was reading it. It sure didn't. Let me go back again. Okay, Clutie told the neighbor that Freeman was in danger and that she'd been sent to provide assistance. Freeman said she was open to meeting them. She asked Cobb County Police, which where I live is in Cobb County, she asked Cobb County Police to send an officer to keep watch so she could step outside, according to a recording of her 911 call. Quote, they're saying that I need help, Freeman told the dispatcher, referring to the people at her door. That it's just a matter of time that they are going to come out for me and my family. An officer arrived and spoke with Clutie, who described herself as a crisis manager, according to the police incident report. Clutie repeated that Freeman, quote, was in danger and had 48 hours before unknown subjects turned up at her home, the report said. At the officer's suggestion, the women agreed to meet at a police station. The officer's report did not identify the man accompanying Clutie. Let's see. Inside the station, Clutie and Freeman met in a corner, according to footage from a body camera worn by an officer. And again, I'm going to scroll back down again. And body camera worn by an officer. Let's see. According to Freeman, Clutie told her that she was going to put a man named Harrison Ford on speakerphone. Freeman said the man on the phone wasn't the actor by the same name. Clutie said the man had authoritative powers to get you protection. The body cam footage showed or recorded him, her saying that. Let's see. Reuters could not independently confirm whether Clutie still works for West or in what capacity. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed one part. Growing suspicious, Freeman said she jumped up from her chair and told Clutie the devil is a liar before calling for an officer. Later at home, Freeman said she Googled Clutie's name and discovered she was a Trump supporter. Police say they did not investigate the incident further. West, who changed his name in October to Yale, did not respond to requests for comment sent through another publicist who represents him. Reuters could not independently confirm whether Clutie still works for West or in what capacity. Media reports have cited her association with the rapper since 2018, when she ceased working with R. Kelly, an R&B singer, who was convicted in September of racketeering and sex trafficking charges. Clutie's biography says she is the founder of Trivium Worldwide, a media and entertainment advisory group. Let's see. Okay. Where do I leave off at? An advisory firm with offices in four cities. Among her clients, she says, are boxer Terrence Crawford and Queen Rania Al-Abdullah of Jordan. The meeting took place 2 months after West ended a failed bid for the White House that drew media attention when several publications revealed that allies and supporters of Trump were working on the ground to advance West's campaign. Some Democrats said they regarded West's presidential bid as a ruse to siphon off black votes from Democrat Joe Biden. Groups assisting the rapper's campaign denied that charge. On January 5th, the day after Freeman's meeting with Clinton, and an agent from the Federal Bureau of Investigation called Freeman and urged her to leave her home of 20 years because it wasn't safe, Freeman said. The following day, January 6th, Clinton's prediction that people would descend on Freeman's home in 48 hours proved correct, according to a defamation lawsuit Freeman and Moss filed last week against a far-right news site. The lawsuit said, left hours before a mob of angry Trump supporters surrounded her home shouting through bullhorns. Interesting story. This, again, I will say, was in Reuters Publishing. All right, so, like I said, we're going to have pretty much a short show. I'm probably not going to run for the full 8 hours because, like I said, everybody was pretty busy today. But I see there's some people here on the board. But I wanted to ask some questions about relationships. And it's kind of interesting to me because I was wondering, do people date anymore? Do they get to know each other anymore? Or they just hook up? You know, I know some young ladies I work with, and they're into, you know, they're unhappy and everything. And one of them was telling me, you know, her boyfriend, you know, the way he treats her, and this and that and the other. And I asked her, how long have you guys been together? She said, just a couple of months. And I'm like, you guys already, you know, she already admitted that they've been together, and, you know, sexually or something. I'm like, is that 90-day rule not working or doesn't apply anymore? You know, what's going on with relationships? Do people really try to get to know each other anymore? Or is it just, let's hook up, you know? It's a crazy scene, I guess, out here in this world of relationships. But I don't know. If you have any comments on it, your thoughts about relationships today compared to the relationships in the past. Because I know, I mean, you know, you would date, go out, talk, get to know each other, stuff like that, you know, before things got too serious, you know. Like I said, get to know each other. It doesn't seem like this generation does that anymore. It's, okay, let's just hook up. I don't understand. So I want to make another announcement also. Former guest on the show from last year, or this year, I should say, he's been on the show a couple of times, Mr. Elijah Baker just dropped his new single or his new EP. You guys got to check it out. I'm going to give you the information. I'm going to open up this microphone here, 323-338, and I do believe that's Cotton Campbell. How are you doing? Hello? Your mic is open.
This Hello? Is Los Angeles, California. Hi, Michael.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. This is 323. Oh, wait a minute. You know what I did? I looked at the last four digits, and it's almost the same. This is Andrea. How are you doing? Happy Saturday, Andrea.
Yeah, happy Saturday to you and all your listeners and your co-hosts. I just came in where you were talking about relationships, and wow. That's a loaded question. What target market are you talking about? What age? The young people don't think the way the older people do, or the boomer people. Our mindset's a little bit different. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Younger people, 90-day rule and just all kind of stuff that one of the things that I say here in California, the men are so spoiled, they can have a woman for breakfast, another one for lunch, another one for dinner, and then two for midnight snack. And there's a shortage of men. So there's a lot of women that are competing to the point that they lower their standards nowadays just to get a man. Really, don't waste my time, as Usher says, don't waste my time. So if you want to talk about relationships, where do you start?
Well, you
and
know,
sometimes the best relationship to have is with yourself first before
well,
you can
have
an effective relationship
yourself.
With anybody else, and loving yourself first. Not
yeah,
being conceited, but just the self-love.
Well, that is very true. But I was you got my ear when you said that the shortage of men for women, the ratio for men in California. I've heard that said a lot, that there's and then women lowering their standards. But what I found interesting is, like, in fact, there's another person I know that told me that there was a guy that, you know, they were talking and everything, and hadn't been talking long, and he wanted to start a business with her and wanted pretty much to run the business out of her house, and they hook up, you know, and, you know, he lives elsewhere, but he would come there and run the business. And she's like, you know, I barely even started, but automatically he wants to have a relationship and a business, you know, at once. It was like, I barely even know the person. You know, people rushing into a relationship, I guess, is what I'm looking
no,
at.
No, you don't
and
mix,
really
you don't mix
person.
Business with pleasure. And in business, the relationship is separate. So it's not personal, it's business.
Mm-hmm.
You don't mix the two. It does not work at all. Unless you have something, specific clause in place, papers that you and your attorney signed, then that way it takes the personalities out of it. There again, it's not personal, it's business.
Mm-hmm. Well, according to an article I read last night, is that the dating scene now, especially since COVID, is not really a hot thing. You know, these dating sites, you know, that eHarmony and all of them, you know, they struggled, especially during COVID and everything. A lot of folks weren't dating, you know, meeting people, staying indoors, away from folks. They're heavily advertised and everything. But they said that isn't really going that well like it was when it first started, you know, these dating sites are not getting many people. And people are, like you said, are not really dating anymore, as far as trying to have a long term relationship. They're just hooking up. From my understanding, from a lot of folks that I've talked to, it's not really looking, you know, down the road of staying together that much, or it's not really that important for especially young folks right now, you know. When I say young folks, I mean, I'm not talking about teenagers, but folks in their 20s, in their mid-20s and so on, they're just not, you know, I guess not really serious about the future with that individual per se. You know, it's just someone to be with for the time being while they finish school or whatever, or really decide what they want to do with their career. It's just a hookup. Do you agree that that's probably the scenario that's going on? Or have you heard that same type of discussion among folks that it's just it's not
serious?
Well,
I think it all depends on what age bracket you're in.
Say, well, that's
what
I said about in the early to mid 20s. Yeah, it's still just a hookup type.
Their philosophy is different, right? Instant gratification, booty call, benefit, friends with benefits, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Instant gratification, move on. I got mine. If you didn't get yours, go somewhere else. Yeah, the mindset's different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
They have no, if you want to go any further than that, you have to consider, are these people binary or what their frame of, what are they calling themselves now? The people still say are men on the down low. There's so many things that you have to consider.
Mm-hmm.
nowadays when you even think about relationships. How do you get to see somebody? You can't get to really see except for their eyes, because their smile, which says a lot about their smile, you can't even see it unless they have these clear shield, face shields on. Other than that, some of their identity is being hidden behind a mask.
Yeah, that's true too. You know, in many places, that's true. You run in the folks and you barely see their eyes, but you definitely don't see the smile. And another thing I've noticed that there are a lot of single mothers. I know a few of them. And it's interesting to me because there's a couple of women I do know. They have young daughters. And I can actually tell you how long they dated the fathers. And they're not with the fathers anymore. And the kids are like 2 and 3 years old. And was it a planned pregnancy or not planned? I really can't say. But it's just interesting to me that, as I said, this wasn't a planned relationship, I guess, down the road. And I'm not knocking women, don't get me wrong, they're friends of mine. But I just wonder, is it just a thing where some women just, regardless, I want to have a child, I don't have to have a husband, I just want a child? Is that the mindset for some of these young women now? Do you have any comment on that?
Yeah, there it is. I want to say it's a generation of children raising children. We have grandmothers and grandfathers that are becoming grandparents at a younger age. It's also a lack of the mother and father, as opposed to the husband and wife, being the initial role model in the family. And they're getting a lot of their training from what they see, on TV, which is not real.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are not in the church anymore. Or so you have this young generation, 30, 40 years old, they still haven't found themselves, yet they have become parents. And or they make decisions in their lives to the point that they made wrong decisions and now they're incarcerated. So who is raising their children, the grandparents, are now becoming raising their grandchildren because their children made wrong choices in their lives. However, in getting back to not necessarily the church as a whole, but it takes a village to raise a village. And now the church is actually out in the community, not necessarily in a brick-and-mortar building.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a loss of the family unit as a whole in the Claudine days where welfare came in. The father couldn't be in the household. The father figure, husband, couldn't be in the household. And so that has gone down to how many generations, and with the kids raising kids, the mothers are now competing with the daughters for the men, because there's about maybe between 13 and 20 year difference between the mother and the daughter. So that means they're competing
true.
For what? The same men. That's kind of icky, I think.
Mom and daughter at the same nightclub, right?
Hello. Yuck.
Do
we have
crazy.
Any moral values about ourselves now? Or is anything going to the dogs, D-A-W-G-S, as our men are being referred to as dogs? Really?
Now, that's always been a term, as far as I can remember. So what is it that, and I want to ask, since I want to add to this, you know, there's, like you said, well, you mentioned guys being dogs, and especially if they cheated or whatever,
you know, women can cheat just as much as men can and get away with it pretty good. And I'm pretty sure there's a lot of folks out there who have cheated in a relationship at some time or another. Many will deny it. I'll admit I have, you know. But would you say that's another reason why a lot of folks don't really commit into relationships, because of afraid of not finding a faithful partner?
Well, that happens when you are so desperate that you accept less than what you deserve, and you're so paranoid about being by yourself and getting to know you first.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're in that type of image to where you, quote unquote, have to be in a relationship to be, quote unquote, completed. Really? You come into this world complete. You don't
want
somebody else to complete you.
Mm-hmm. But some people get into relationships.
Every time you accept less than what you deserve, men and women, excuse me, that's what you're going to get. So what would you rather, waste your time with accepting less than what you get, or take time in developing who you are so you can be the best that you can be and pick from the cream of the crop, because you are the cream of the crop.
Mm-hmm.
Don't waste my time.
Then there are some people that are afraid of, just want a companionship. But just like you said, there's some folks who will settle for less just for a companionship. And some people just don't want to be by themselves. There are people.
But why? Why are you scared of being by yourself?
Huh?
You that scared of yourself? Are you that scared of yourself that you don't want to be by yourself?
No, I'm saying not me. I said that there are people who want to be in a relationship. Yeah, that they want to be in a relationship to have a companionship. Now, there are folks who will be in a relationship and not like shacking together or whatever, but let's say the woman lives over there, the guy lives over here, you know, and they live in separate residences, you know, they just, you know, go out with each other and go their separate ways just for the companionship. And then there's the ones who do shack up with each other for the security, you know, to be able to, because one can't live on their own because they can't afford a place on their own. So they'll get with someone that can help split the bills, per se. There's relationships like that, right? And to me, I think that's a horrible relationship because of security reasons. I knew a young
that
lady, she married
more
a guy.
That sounds like a roommate situation. That could be
a roommate instead of
friends with benefits. It all depends on how you're going in the beginning.
Yeah, I think that's how that sometimes happened too. There's some folks who started dating and then they realize it's not going to work, but they're stuck with each other under the same roof. But they stay together in order to make the ends meet. I know a young lady who actually married a guy, which is not uncommon. I'm sure it's happened many a times, for financial stability. She told me, I really don't love him. I'm like, wow. You know? And it makes you kind of wonder, does he sense that, but he's, how should I put it? Does he sense it, but he's so into her, even though she's not really into him? I kind of wonder how the folks, you know, manage to live like that based on financial stability. I know you would never get yourself in that situation, but you understand what I'm saying? There's relationships out there like that, and I don't understand it.
There are.
Mm-hmm.
There are. That's where you have to be able to talk to somebody. And if that's the case, that sounds like it's similar to codependency. And that's a no-no, too.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, the woman I'm speaking of, she had kids and she was married, had kids, and her she divorced her husband and then met another guy and married him, had a child for him. And then when I talked to her, she was telling me, she said, he just gets on my nerves. I said, are you serious? Yeah. She said, you know, and she told me, she said, you know, I have to look at, you know, stability and, you know, he's retired military and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and I had to have someone to help me raise my kids. And I'm like, wow. Which goes back to, like you said, codependency and financial stability is what she married for, not for love. So, with that being said, interesting.
Yeah, with that being said, interesting. Thank you so much for letting me give my two cents.
I truly appreciate it. Thank you for chiming in and sharing your thoughts on the subject. Like I said, I'm not going to run the whole last hour. It's a slow day on the show today. Like I said, many of the co-hosts were not available today. And as I mentioned, this is Janet's birthday weekend, so she has the night off here. Family taking her out for her birthday dinner. I'm not going to tell her age, so but she'll be back next week. And tomorrow's her birthday, so happy birthday again to Janet Davis. Oh, and by the way, what I wanted to announce, Elijah E.B. Baker, former bass player for the group Tony, Tony, Tony. Yes, Tony, Tony, Tony was a seven-man band at one time. People don't remember, but just dropped his new EP called A Real Motherfunker on Ambitious Records. So I like for you guys, go over to ambitiousrecords.net. I believe that's correct. Yes, .net. Listen to some of the samples of some of the songs, and I'm talking about this is a funky, funky, funky EP. This is, I mean, this takes you back old school. And I mean, he is cutting up some great songs, great funky grooves. I mean, seriously, I've been playing it and playing it and playing it, and you know, you can buy it online, and he could drop it to you, and you're going to love it. I mean, I wake up to it. I go to sleep, cut on there called Good Funky Morning. I play every morning. You'll get hooked into it. Trust me. It's Elijah E.B. Baker. The new EP is called A Real Motherfunker, and it's on Ambitious Records. Go to Ambitious Records. .net right now. Check out the samples. Go ahead and buy it. And speaking of Elijah Baker, he's Elijah Baker and DOA, Mr. Derek Allen, also musician and producer. Here's a track from the new EP. This is Lige and DOA. We'll be right back.
Hey, D. OA. Nobody wanna do the funk no more, man. But I ain't scared. Are you? Nah. We gonna hit him like this, D. Yeah.
too funky in here. That's Elijah E.B. Baker with Funk, featuring Derek D.O.A. Allen. And like I said, you can get it on Ambitious Records. Go to ambitiousrecords.net. You can't lose with this one, y'all. I'm telling you, it is truly the funk. Speaking of the funk, each week from now for the first of the year, I'm going to play an instrumental track. And, you know, it's funny that you all remember back in the 70s and 80s, groups used to put out these jams, it was just instrumental, right? Just slamming. And you'd break your neck to get on the dance floor and do your best move. No words, no lyrics, just music, some funky grooves. So I'm going to play one. I don't believe I played this one yet, but I'm going to go ahead and play it. And by the end of the year, what we're going to do, we're going to see who can name all the songs and the artists, and we're going to send you a gift pack. Yes, we're going to send you a gift, courtesy of the TMGS. Here it is right now. Enjoy, and see if you can remember this one. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Hey, this is Cheryl Cooley of the all-female band Climax, and you're listening to The Michael Gay Show. Yeah.
All right. Welcome back. Welcome back. And there's one of the tracks there. I'm sure some of you remember it. I know I do. And now I've got time to pull on one more. I'm going to go ahead and add one more. I'm going to double it up. But I'm going to give you a hint on this one. You know, slight hint if you don't have an idea. But how should I do this? Oh, the name of the group actually has the first name of the leader of the group in the name of the group. Got it? Once again, the name of that group, the leader's first name is part of the name of the group, but you got to put it all together. Okay, it's not, you know, such and such and the so-and-sos and such and such and the what you might call them. It's all together. Go ahead and think about that one. I'm going to go ahead and throw in one more. Here's another jam that we used to get down to at the local house parties on the weekends. See if you can figure this one out. Welcome back. Welcome back to the TMGS. And there's another one for you to think over. What's the name of the song and who is the group? Here's one hint. One hint only. One hint only. Bang, bang. You got it? The hint is bang, bang. All right. So there's two tracks right there for you to think about. You tune in next week. We got a few more that we're going to give to you. And if you can name all the songs and the groups, we have a gift that we'll send to you. We're going to run this every weekend, like I said, but on Christmas, we will not be on air. There'll be some Christmas music on the line, but we will take Christmas Day or evening off. We'll be right back the following week, New Year's Day, We'll be back because Friday will be New Year's Eve, so that Saturday will be New Year's Day. So we'll be back on air that Saturday, and we'll do another round, final round on New Year's Day, and see who has all the answers and give away the gift pack. Hey, you guys, that's it for me for today. Thank you for joining us this Saturday here on TMGS. I appreciate my guest, my co-host and guest, Mr. Time and Ship in California. Also want to thank the one and only Miss Andrea James for chiming in. I appreciate you joining me here today. And, hey, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Stay blessed. And we'll see you next Saturday here on TMGS. Have a good night. Enjoy the rest of or the beginning of next week. And we'll see you next Saturday. Goodbye. See you later.